Blog Talk Radio.
Brothers that will back us up. We're not going to let a brother bleed when we're not bleeding. And what sort of disagreements do you guys have?
Respect.
You've got to respect each other. If you don't show respect, you don't get it in return.
Anyone want to add to that?
A lot of it comes down to perceived lack of respect on one party or another, or actual lack of respect from one party to another. We're trying to get a hold of that, as you can see here. So
there's no truth to it. We all have to understand that if we keep continually arguing with each other, that the world's going to end.
Under the New South Wales government's criminal organisation laws, members of a club can now be placed under a control order and banned from working in around 15 different professions. Those include security, tow truck driving, running a bar, and being a mechanic.
There's not a lot stopping them adding things to that list either. I mean, they're constantly amending laws.
Well, we can do an experiment. I could tell you who I work for, and we'll see how quickly they put that on the list. But
the laws also ban them from associating. Meeting another member under a control order would result in automatic arrest.
Anybody who's seen with us, a class is associate.
So fundamentally now, you're a bike bitch.
Yes.
These men want us to know they see the legislation as an infringement of their civil rights and ours.
The fact that any group of people can be subject to the legislation, the fact that criminal intelligence can be used against you and you're not going to be in court to hear what it is, so you can't defend yourself, this is really a dangerous piece of legislation.
But the police maintain tough laws are necessary and that bikie clubs are organised crime units.
What do you think, Bill?
You know, I'm glad you stopped it there because I can understand the need to come together and discussion. As I always say, dialogue is two people speaking. But I don't understand the need for a public relations department. We're going to try to change the image. We're not going to change our image. I think you should fire the public relations department altogether. Bikers are still going to be bikers. What are they going to try to say? For us to be better, nicer people? Some of us are nice. Some of us aren't nice. That's the way life is. But I like the idea, in an irony, that the government is pulling these people before they're all fragmented. So that's kind of interesting in there. I have some friends over there, and as you know, we have friends over there. So
right.
It's a tough neighborhood over there. They don't have the rights we have in America. But the fact they're coming together is nice. But one more time, I got to say, fire the public relations department. We're not going to change our image or our look, for God's sakes.
No. And we got a couple of callers, Bill. I'm gonna bring in. This is our new friend Terry. Hello, Terry.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Bill.
Hey,
good.
Bill Kennedy. Good to talk to you tonight,
buddy.
All right, tonight, pal.
Glad to hear.
Did you hear about that? The Australia, they're getting together now, trying to have committees and organizations to try to discuss their problems. You think that's a pie in the sky, or what do you think about that concept?
Hey, I think when people can come together and have dialogue on issues that matter, that's a good thing.
Yeah, but we just talking about a rainbow. You think this would actually accomplish anything based upon your experience in the motorcycle community, your history, your neighborhoods? Do you think that we're just sitting down, it's a feel-good thing, or do you think anything productive can come out of this meeting?
Now, granted, I didn't hear the whole piece, but I do think that when people can get together and have dialogue on issues that matter, that's the start. And depending on where they leave off with the discussion, you know, the action typically follows. After all, communication is the cornerstone of all change, so I'm all for it. I would be all for it.
Okay, hold on one second. 760-439.
Hey, Carla, come on, talk to us tonight.
Hello? You just want to listen or are you going to talk?
You can listen if you want to.
That's it.
All right. We'll come back later if you want to come in there.
All right. Now I'm going to play, Terry, I'm going to play the rest of that piece.
I want to ask you some questions after Terry also, please.
Yeah, let's hear it.
Okay.
Bikies see it differently.
That's one thing that the media boosts up. And it's like I said before, if you ever went to one of our meetings, we're not that organized. The way the police dress us all up, that there's one bloke at the top, he hands the drugs out and we all go out and feed it all out like an organiser. That doesn't happen.
Police would argue, though, that certainly there are individuals within a lot of clubs that are involved in criminal activity.
Yeah, we've got people in the club that are. So is a football club team down the road.
So is our police force.
They're an organised crime unit.
Not everyone's buying the idea that relations between the clubs are as relaxed as they seem in this room. According to a recent article, a bikie war is still simmering.
That's just more police propaganda. Nothing's been happening, so paper sales would be down. It's like a soap opera. They want to read the next instalment.
It's kind of a joke with the Angels. If you read that article, apparently we're going to war over a tattoo parlours we both own. We know nothing of this. That's a complete blow-up. That was a... You know, I just want to keep writing a saga about it.
I don't think the public realise we're fathers, we're grandfathers.
How many people here have kids?
Every time something comes up about the big bad bikies, I've noticed car drivers are more likely to sit up your backside when you're on your bike. They see someone with a patch on their back and they go, oh, beauty, let's hassle him. Why? I've got a wife at home. I want to get home to
listen to a fart.
You know, when she watches this, when this comes out, she's going to kill me. You know? Why do you think I'm wearing long sleeves? She bashes me. I'm having bruises.
I think a
fucking
example is the difference. Because we've got a back patch on, we are 100% club in the eyes of the police. Hotels and everything else, we're treated exactly the same. We wear a back patch with pride because we served in Vietnam. We came back and we were ostracised by the government, by everyone when we came back. At least the Vikings give us a chance. We fought for this country and we cop all the shit.
The council is keen for us to understand that bikies are just like you and me. But some of the men here see violence and lawlessness in a very different way to most Australians.
Our attitudes are pretty old and raw. We deal with what we deal with. There's so many people out there that walk the earth that would love to be able to go bop someone over the back of their head with a bat because he pissed him off. We just do it our way.
Violent disagreements between rival clubs have been kept to a minimum over the past year. Regular council meetings mean clubs are increasingly answerable to each other, and no one wants to be to blame for a repeat of last year's events. In March last year, a man was killed at the airport in front of a lot of very scared members of the public. I know it's before the courts and there's a sub judice issue here, but is there anything that you can say to the public about it?
It's got to be said that what happened at the airport was a tragedy. But the fact of the matter is, you open the newspaper any day of the week, and you're reading about similar sorts of stories that don't continue getting the same thing. It's there one week and it's wrapping your chips the next week or whatever. And the whole story just goes away in that particular time. This one hasn't, because they're motorcyclists. It's the stigma attached with this particular group of people, and not because of anything else.
You look what else happens in the world. Get over it. Build a bridge.
It's moments like these that make you wonder if a PR strategy will be enough to save the bikies. In the meantime, the irony of being brought together by laws designed to keep them apart hasn't escaped anyone.
In a way, the government helped us come together. The police want to tear us apart and have us fighting, and the government, in the same light, pulled us together or pushed us together.
Since this interview, it's been reported that the New South Wales Police are moving to declare the first club illegal. It's not clear how long the council and the relative calm it has brought will last.
All right, now, screwed over that year. Terry's from Chicago, right, we said?
That's correct.
Look, you heard what they're saying. They said some good things. A lot of it was just pretty much stuff we've heard, cliché. Do you think that if an issue came up in Chicago, you could produce or you could bring together all the motorcycle clubs, just never mind the whole country and all that, just Chicago? Is that something you can ever do, Terry? Or do you think, not just you, do you think there is any issue could ever pull your city together, never mind your state?
Wow, that's a tough one right there. I guess that really precedes my answer. No, but anything is possible. But the issues between clubs are so complex that bringing people together, it seems somewhat daunting. However, there are some common threads that bind people together, and to conclude that it's not possible would not be fair, because we all have the ability to think between what's good and what's right and what's wrong. So the appeal to the conscience at some stage may very well work out to the benefit of the community as a whole, to where some unity could be found. I mean, times are changing, and so are attitudes.
No, I've always heard times are changing. Times are changing. I would like to remind everybody that 1969, I went in the military, drafted against my will. But in 1967, I went to San Francisco. It was on my K-model Sportster. I was just out of high school. I wanted to go to find them hippies. I wanted to find this guy, Sonny Baga, with the Hells Angels. I went up there. I got off my motorcycle when I finally made it there to Haight-Ashbury. Everybody put their arm around me, said, "How you doing? Come on in here. What's your name? Have some wine." Everything was good. I went in the military in 69, kicking, scratching, crying, but I went in. When I came home in 71 and I got my life back together, in 72 I went back to San Francisco. Everywhere in the motorcycle world for me changed, because so many of the motorcycle organizations were now involved in drugs. They're involved in crime. They're involved in guns. I think that is what broke up the word brotherhood. The fact that when all the clubs were happy together, the sale or the awareness of the chance to make money through drugs and alcohol and guns and all that, that's where I think, Terry, we started finding a decline in the word brotherhood. How do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I've heard the same thing. I've heard the same thing that the club deteriorated when drugs hit the scene. I've heard the same thing. It's good that you can look back and see what the problems are, and now we can work towards some solutions to the issues in the motorcycle community. Culturally, it's just like that mainstream America. You know, times change, people change. Same thing in the bike community. Things can affect one community adversely.
Are you talking into a phone? Because it's kind of hard to hear what you're saying.
How's that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a little better. Thank you.
Okay, great. I'll try to speak up a little louder.
The second issue I'm concerned about is the fact that I've been riding 45 years, and not that I'm anybody special or anything, but I've realized that you can negotiate between two motorcycle entities if monetary damage was done. Motorcycle was knocked down, somebody got beat up. But when one club loses a member to a war with another club, I don't care how the clubs will say, okay, we're at truce. The chapter that lost a member in the war, they will never forget.
Nope.
I have listened and listened and listened. I've heard 10 chapters say, no, we all get together. And they have one more chapter and they go, no, we won't, goddammit. We lost a brother. That man is dead. That is another issue that we have to deal with there. Yeah, Terry, are you with the club now? You're independent. I didn't ask that earlier. I'm sorry.
I am. Actually, I would qualify myself as an independent. Yes, the head of the association.
So you see some of my issues over here again, where we can talk about peace, love, and harmony, but when these clubs go to war and they do lose a member to another club, how can you ever say, yeah, we can get together, we can discuss it? No, we can't. How can you replace with a financial number the death of this person? Again, your bike was knocked over, or you got stabbed, money can be paid to your family to get the bike fixed or to pay the hospital bills. When a chapter loses somebody, and that's the problem we have, too many chapters in so many clubs have lost a person. And when I listen to the clubs trying to get together, I'm aware of the chapters that have dead members. Those are the ones that are hard to negotiate with. Those are the ones that are hard to reach out to.
I mean, you could see the look on those guys' faces from the one club that the guy got killed from.
You guys could see that in the program, but
It's up there.
A lot of people were positive.
It's up there in the chat.
But the ones that had lost a brother, you could see the frozen look on their face. This is something issue they got to deal with. And this is what prevents us from coming together. I have no comment. I have no commentary. I have no discussion. No easy fix. But in my life, I have seen that what keeps us together is ourselves. Now, I am aware that national officers can override all local chapters, and they can make a mandate, if you will, saying we will come together. But any chapter's lost a member, I don't see how they can ever sit down.
That's
we have a lot of drama in California, Terry. We have a lot of drama.
Well, I'm actually sitting here imagining what one must be, what that must be to go through something like that. At the same time, you know, the objectives of clubs, they vary from club to club. And sometimes if at some point enough is enough. At what point does that club make that decision? And that's up to the club. But for the most part, when they make that decision, that's when there's an opportunity for some real change, because somebody's got to be the first to step up to the plate and just say enough is enough and be a force for reconciliation, bringing things back to where they began. It's the love of motorcycle when it would come down to it. Everybody bought a motorcycle that's riding a motorcycle for the love of motorcycling. How do you reconcile that situation? Everything else aside from that is secondary. It's actually BS, I'd like to say, but I really don't want to go there with that kind of language, but I guess I really just did it. But for the most part, we got to get our priorities straight and realize who we are.
And what the future is. And what the future is. I agree with you.
Right. And where we're going. So it's all about the movement in which we're making. You know, it's going to determine our fate in the end. And we control that. We all control that. And once we realize that, then we have the opportunity to make the adjustments. But we first got to realize that. The situation doesn't control us. We control the situation.
Well, we got to take into account the fact that I'm going to say, for example, you got a Moe Guzzi now, and I got a Goldwing, and screwdrivers on an Airhead, a BMW. We can't even sit down and talk. We're talking about motorcycles, and yet the BMW riders, they're all by themselves. The Goldwing riders, they don't want much to do with Harley crowd. And the only time I hear any Harley trash talk is when I'm at the bar. Harley's best, fuck the rest. We can't even sit down as human beings, as motorcycle riders, as adults, as taxpayers, as parents, American citizens. We can't even sit down and agree on that. So I have a lot of problems trying to, can we ever sit down? I don't know if we can.
Well, everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's got propaganda that they're pushing. When we realize what it really is, you know, it gives us the tools to deal with it. It's really just propaganda. The Harley riders not being able to ride with the or associate with sport bikes, and everybody's got something against somebody because of something that's different. That's the piece that we've got to break down. And a lot of folks are getting tired of that anyway. I mean, having this dialogue about what you're talking about, you're bringing folks together, is what's going to bring us together. So people are going to begin to question, you know, why do we do the things that we do? Why do we say the things that we say?
Yeah.
And when we start asking those questions, then we big old question mark goes above our head. Yeah, why do we do that? Well, maybe we should stop doing that. All right, there we go. Yeah, just keep talking.
I've listened to so many people and so many motorcycle rights organizations, and we still are fragmented. And I just, until we can sit down as human beings and say, look, we have some common problems. I ride down on 42nd Street and there's bad potholes, and my BMW is going to act up, your Harley's going to act up. We need to sit down and say, if we can put our problems, our differences in the past, and try to say, where is the future? And can we come together as a biker nation, if you would, I'll say that. If we could come together and try to accent on how can we make this better, if nothing else, we got voting power. But I don't know if we can. I don't know.
That's a good question. What is that common thread that brings us all together, other than the fact that we ride motorcycles? There's got to be a common concern that makes us all just pause and say, yeah, we can come together on this issue. And then from there, grow.
get John's thoughts on this.
For our group, for our community, for our nation.
Terry, we've got John Del Santo out of San Diego. He's with Bait. He's with the Bolt. He's with the all kind of. He's my motorcycle guru. He's the fact seeker. John, why don't you jump in and give us a few words of kind of what I'm talking about and Terry's talking about. John, this is Terry. Terry, this is John. Say hello, guys.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, buddy.
Hey, you know, it's. I think if you had something common, like all of a sudden somebody put in a bill to outlaw motorcycles, we may get together. But it's really difficult. I go to meetings with different you know, like sport bike groups and this group and that group and the other group, and people just aren't. They just, you know, they want a label. They want to, you know, you can get a guy with a Harley who has ridden in his life 7 Goldwings and 3 BMWs, but now I'm a Harley guy, you know. Or, and I'm not just saying Harley. It's like, you know, all the different brands. And then there's other people who, they don't give a shit what you ride. You know, you're one of us. You know, fortunately, we've gotten that with the Bait here in San Diego. We have gotten that to where it's pretty much a done deal. I don't care what somebody rides up that hill with; they're welcome there. So it can
as
be done.
As far as the political organization goes, motorcycle rights organization, every person that shows up, that's potential vote. That's how I see it, John. How do you feel about that?
Exactly. And now, rather than votes, our new pack rep, Douglas. He is the founder of this Ride to Repeal, and he is saying that one vote is worth one vote. However, if he goes and works for a politician, does a phone bank, puts up signs, he's now one out one vote. He's 5 votes. He gets 5 votes for that politician. And if you can get 7 motorcyclists down there working, 2 making phone calls, 3 of them putting out signs. You know, now you've just built, in one day, you've built 35 votes for that politician. And he says, this is what these guys are going to notice, guys and women are going to notice. You know, the fact that we're drawing not just one vote, you know, in a weekend, or rather than a week, you get a small group of motorcyclists can build 300, 400 votes for this politician by working for him. I mean, Douglas doesn't even believe in sending money to him. You know, he says that the only thing they're going to notice is you in your biker gear in their office doing work. So, the politicians don't care what you ride anyway.
No, that's correct. You're absolutely right. John,
hang on a second.
John, I brought Merlin. Are you there?
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Merlin, we can't hear you. Say it again. Hello?
Okay, how's this? Is that better?
Oh, yeah. Where are you calling from tonight?
He's in Nashville at Charlie's.
Still?
He's at Charlie's.
Charlie and I are sitting at the kitchen table. He came home just for you guys.
We were talking a little bit with Terry from Chicago and now John Del Santo about the fact that
they know each other.
We
right?
know differences. We know common. Do you think that we have more things going against us or things going with us? Talk about the motorcycle rights organizations. Why can't we come together and use our voting? You think that the fact that the motorcycles, the different manufacturers are separating us? You think ignorance is separating us? The motorcycle club violence that separates the motorcycle clubs. But
Merle,
you've been around a long time. What are the reasons, your thoughts as to why we are still fragmented?
If you put a Kawasaki and a Honda and a Harley and a BMW together, you can't get a single opinion out of any of them, much less a differing opinion. They don't talk. Got to be the human aspect. As individuals, have to set a bunch of other things aside to become a cohesive organization. At that point, we become
the number of votes that Del Santo's talking about. We become the power and the communication that Terry is talking about, and we become the force that Bolt and HLDL and Abate would love to have become years ago. It's a matter of people thinking about it and saying, this is something I need to compromise a little bit somewhere else on to get this big one done. Sometimes it could be a misunderstanding. Oh, bikers are dangerous. It could be something as simple as, I don't like rice burners, which is kind of a dopey thing for those of us who own or have owned more than three motorcycles. But as simple as that sounds, all of us know that's a tough one. That's the tough one.
Well, and, one of the callers, I think it was Terry or John, said that until an issue so serious comes about, we'll never, ever be able to come together. And maybe it's banning motorcycles. I don't know what it's
going
to be.
We were amazed that we didn't see a level of rebellion in 1992 in California, and we never saw it. And it, within 3 or 4 years, the level of activism and anger that we did have was diminishing. It was evaporating in some cases. It's that simple. Something has to hurt you enough to say that's enough. And very often when you're dealing with the government, by the time it gets to that level, turning it around, it's much, much harder to take out a law than to get one put in. It would almost be easier to put in, to get in a law that says you can't wear a helmet than to take out the one that says you must.
I don't want to sound like a chicken yelling, the sky is falling, but my background, and I'm involved in a lot of programs, and I talk to a lot of motorcycle clubs. They just can't come together. I don't know what we could ever do to get them together. And I said earlier the fact that so many clubs have lost a brother in the war. Okay, you got 10 chapters in one club, 9 chapters were some beefs, but one chapter lost a member. He's killed. That chapter will never come together. They will never sit down with another rival club. No matter how much we try to say, well, let's think of the positive. How the hell can we put a price on a dead person? Can you see my point there, Merlin?
Oh, yeah, I do. And I would think a response to that is somewhere along the lines of, the last thing we want to do is take away from a brother, anybody's brother, especially one who's gone on ahead. But what we have to do here is get to where we can sit down and talk to each other like grown-ups about something that affects all of us. You knew Skip Asmus. Bill, you knew Skip Asmus, and you know he died in a motorcycle accident in January. And every so often, I will see a sidecar, and that's what he was riding, was an old Guzzi with a side hack. And I'll see a sidecar, and I kind of say a silent prayer for the guy that's controlling the car, the chair, because that's a tough thing to do, and it has a scare factor for me now that it didn't have before. Skip was my brother for 40 years. But at the same time, the last thing I would do is try and outlaw a sidecar or add a restriction that would make it more and more difficult, because Skip was a grown man. This was his freedom of choice, and I was there when his choice cost him his life. And so I'm very aware of the pain of losing a brother. I'm also very aware of the pain of losing a right to choose. And when countries go to war, they go to war and they lose sons and brothers and daughters to protect, at least we do, to protect a right to choose. or to protect something they find valuable. Skip understood this, and Skip would understand if I said right now, and I'm going to say it, I would lose a friend, and I would lose my own life, and I've done this. I've offered my life up to that altar to protect something that valuable. And it's almost, if that's the case, where we're looking at, gee, I lost a brother, and I hurt, and I'm feeling bad, the last thing I want to do is take away from that hurt. But you have to look beyond that, at least for a little while. Never lose your friend. Never forget your friend. But look at what else we need to do, because they are not interchangeable. They are not.
Merlin, let me ask you this. You talked about losing a friend and all that. How many times have you been riding down the road, the same road you've been on many, many, many times, and it's a certain time of the day, you get a certain smell in the air, and you flash back to 20 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 days ago. You can picture somebody right behind you that you rode with for years. It's happened to me so many times. I even almost forget about the accident, him dying, but I can think there, and I can, and I'm not getting real religious on you guys, everybody just relax. I'm saying I can feel their presence. I'm swear to you on that. So these things, the positive things, also keep me riding motorcycles so much. And I'm going to say this, I have more brothers in the graveyard than I have friends today. And I've got, really, you know, I've got thousands of acquaintances. But the brothers, unfortunately, and you know many, many, they're gone. And it takes me so hard to develop the confidence and trust. Hang with me for 10 years, and I may get to like you. I don't want new friends, I'm telling everybody. But I often think about a thought from a person dead, and it makes me feel good. So I'm kind of happy about that.
It does. You know, I do things all the time, and I am reminded that, gee, somebody would have liked that, or you know, this would have been fun to tell them about, or something like that. I mean, we all do it because we're a hurting animal. We need that interplay with our minds. But as far
John,
as
I mean, excuse me, Merlin, I want to put something out there, buddy. Mm-hmm. This is a Motorcycle Awareness Month, as we all know. And I was running down the freeway, and I was thinking of John today. John, do you have any idea why I might have been riding down the freeway thinking of you today?
Yeah, me too, John.
Yes, you're looking up at those signs. They're wonderful to see. Share the road. You know, look twice for motorcycles.
Like Terry probably doesn't know that. Can you tell us what your involvement was in bringing those signs onto the freeway, John?
I'm sorry, what, Bill?
Terry back to Chicago, he may not know what part you played in bringing those signs on the California freeways.
Could you share that with Terry, how
you got involved, what you did maybe?
I made about a million phone calls and had emails and, you know, broke people's balls, and other people were there. I mean, like Mike Osborne, and actually this last time, the CHP commissioner had a big hand in making it happen again. You know, Farrow, Commissioner Farrow. It was just like, hey, it's a lot of people put in work. It's a good thing to see. I read something today where somebody was complaining about, you know, everybody's reading them and it makes traffic slow down. They ought to cut them out. Hey, if anybody's reading them, if everybody's reading them, man, we did what we wanted to do.
Can you tell me about Motorcycle Awareness Month? How long has that been going on? Do you have any concept?
Oh, Jesus, I don't know. It's got to be
30 years, I think, or something maybe, huh?
Close to 20 years, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so, John.
I think it's 15, 20 years. It was kind of like
the
National
80s,
Pickle
I know
Month.
That, but
for,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of like National Pickle Month for a while. Nobody knew about it. John, I want to congratulate you on successful results to your effort for the motorcycle awareness signs. I have seen them all over the country and in the South, and I wondered why there weren't any in California. And the last time I was out around the holidays in California, I started to see some. And
this February. February was the first ones that went up. Now my wife and I had ridden across country, and we saw three or four different states that had them. And when I got when we got back home again, that's when I started, you know, just calling anybody I possibly could. And then all of the sayings that are on those signs, they come from people that I know, too, because I sent out emails. I said, you know, what would you like to see up there? What kind of words, you know, other than the guys who wrote back, you know, like, fuck cars and, or, you know, but the, you know, it's
your
just a,
go home.
It was just a, it was just a great thing. It's a, let me, well, quickie to Bill here. Bill, the, what you were saying about people who are brand specific, and you're always going to have some of that. It's always going to be there. And those are the people that are most vocal. And so you hear it more, and you'll hear it, I don't know, if I go to a meeting, we run a meeting here in San Diego, the Abate meeting. If I go to a meeting and say, how many people hate rice burners or how many people hate Japanese bikes, I doubt whether you'd get two people put their hands up out of 50. You know, but it's just something that people say. And, you know, you're from Boston, Bill. You know,
yes,
you know,
I am.
You know what I'm talking about. Hey, Irish this, hey, Italian that, you know. Hey, black this. And even if you go, like, to Italy. I mean, I've never been there, but you go to Italy. Those people don't say, well, yeah, well, I'm Italian. No, it's like I'm a Napolitan and I'm a Siciliano and, you know, I'm a Barese. It's a natural thing. People got to pick
a label. I see that as a weakness, though. I got to tell you, because some of you guys know me for a while. I don't want to put somebody down ever. I don't think that makes me a stronger person. That makes me a weaker person. I don't think that makes me a bigger person. That makes me a littler person. Whatever you choose to drive, that's your choice. Let me get back to Terry Chicago. Terry, John's talking about the fact that on the big electronic signs in the California freeways, he and some friends of his, they ought to put some signs up there, watch for motorcycles. Anything like that in Chicago?
Yeah, we've got the watch out for motorcycles during May, motorcycle letters come up every year, yellow and black and red signs.
You share the road stuff.
That's right. Yeah, pretty much sponsored by Abate. Abate and, yeah, yes, I think it's just Abate.
Yeah, the one thing.
Really, you seen anything over there in Charlie's neighborhood, signs like that?
Oh, yeah, all over the South. From the triangular caution signs, you know, watch for motorcyclists, or it'll say share the road, and there's a picture of a motorcycle rather than a bicycle. And you see these, and then occasionally here in Tennessee, I noticed some full-blown billboards, the big ones, illuminated, standing 30 feet above the freeway, this kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, really, really impressive to where you just go, holy cow, somebody gives a damn. I mean, it was a real eye-opener. And the percentage of motorcycles around here, it's nothing like what, you know, we're used to on the West Coast. But they're, you know, I don't know, it's a different mindset.
John, let me ask you a question on that while you're thinking about that, Merlin. We're talking about motorcycle awareness in May. Do you think that's because the Midwest and Eastern states, they're starting to get warm weather, and so we're trying to say, let's start off the new riding season? We in California, we pretty much go, you know, year-round. It doesn't bother us. But do you think why do you think we picked on May as motorcycle awareness? Let me ask John first, and then Merlin, jump in if you want, brother.
Well, I'll tell you, the one thing, though, that we have to watch for is 2 years ago, I mean, it's been Motorcycle Awareness Month for years. You know, be aware of motorcycles. Share the road. Be aware of motorcycles. And a couple of years ago, the safety nannies, I mean, I say that with all due respect because I've been a safety guy for 45 years, but the safety nannies, the politicians started saying, it's Motorcycle Safety Month. You know, motorcycles have to be careful, which is not the purpose of a whole month anyway.
Right. And so John, I have to stop you for a second. I apologize to everybody. Enough of this gentleman talk. We have a lovely lady on the line. She wants to talk about a program.
Hello, Jesse.
She's with Biggs Harley-Davidson, and she's going to talk about three events coming up with Biggs Harley-Davidson. Jesse, darling, is that you?
It's me, guys. How you doing?
Doing fine. How everybody out there?
We'll give you a rundown real quick. We got Terry in Chicago. We got John in San Diego. We got Baker in Merlin in Tennessee, out of Nashville. And
we got other people waiting to get in after her, too.
Right.
Yeah. So, little girl, tell us what you've been doing. Also, we have that one run.
Well, I know why one thing she's doing, Bill.
What is she doing?
She tells you, hold on, I'll call you back in 10 minutes. I'm still holding on. Can I let go now?
She didn't tell me that. She didn't return my calls. I did a radio show with her in KCO AM 1000. She took over the whole show. Just pushed us right out the door.
What I'm saying is I called you. You told me, hey, I'm going in. I'll give me 10 minutes. I'll call you back.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
I do. And then I couldn't. And then I did later. And then you didn't call me back for a few days. And then you called me back. And then I figured
what you're saying now is tag, I'm it?
Oh, my God.
You're it. Now I know how to get a hold of you. I'll just call the show.
I sound like an old married couple. Listen, what's going on with Big Harley Davidson? Because, you know, I'm into all that diabetes stuff. And give us what's going on 7/14 and 21, s'il vous plaît, mademoiselle.
Okay, well, on the 7th, we have the Big's Bad Ride to support Rip's Bad Ride. It's just a North County effort. It's, you know, and I'm hoping it'll grow into just a North County-wide ride in years to come, and I hope we have a good turnout this year. But what we will be doing will be registration is from 9 to 10, and then it's a poker run, and it's $15 per bike, 20 with a passenger. All proceeds go to the American Diabetes Association, and it's all to support Rip's Bad Ride and just get more awareness out there. We'll be leaving from Biggs, heading out to your shop out there, Bill, at Kennedy's. We'll be riding down to Mount Soledad and then stopping at the Back Alley Grill in San Marcos and then back at the shop. And, you know, George Simmons will be out there helping us out and educating everybody a little bit on the meaning of Mount Soledad and the value that it has. And Bill will be out there. Steve will be out there.
Bill be doing what will Bill be doing? Does Bill ever do anything?
Bill is.
Does he ever do anything?
He does. Yes, he does. He makes it look effortless. He makes it look effortless.
He just smiles, and you know, the boy doesn't do much at all. At
he
my shop,
to a microphone.
that's true. My mother said I never saw a mirror or a microphone I didn't like. Listen, at my shop, are you sending somebody over with some forms? I'll have the table, I'll have the chairs set up and all that, but you and I didn't coordinate on that. From your shop, is anybody coming over to my shop with the correct forms or even the poker cards? What are you bringing over? What do I need?
Actually, I have somebody coming over with the deck on a dartboard, so they'll be throwing darts to get their cards at your location. They should already have all their forms and stuff.
Good.
So I wanted to make it as effortless as possible for your shop. So, will be sending somebody from Biggs over with a dartboard.
Well, as long as you're not waiting for her to call you, Bill, you'll be okay.
Ooh,
screwdriver, come on. Go easy on a girl.
A regular on KCO AM 1000, but I hear they're trying to butt me out and put, you know, Jesse in my spot there.
Yeah.
Butt me off AM, you know, it's all right, I understand. You know, hey, what was I going to ask? Tell me about the diabetes program. Do you have any personal friends that are diabetics, Jesse? How are you involved in this program? I know your factory, your authorized dealership, and I know Willie and Karen, they're all pushing hard for the dealerships to get involved. What about you? Do you have any input into that? Do you have any friends that are diabetic?
I have family that's diabetic, and, you know, at a very young age, you know, 48 or 50, she lost her feet. So diabetes is if not taken care of, if people aren't educated, you know, I always talk about my daughter. It's a concern with me just because of, you know, I try to maintain her diet and everything to a pretty decent standard, but it's, you know, with what's out there for kids, you've got to watch what goes into them. Diabetes is a huge deal, you know. It can really complicate a life, and I'm sure, you know, have you shared your story, Bill, about your wife? I mean, I know that this is something that you advocate for hardcore.
My life is boring. I'm just happy that I'm here, you know.
What?
In the presence of... Sorry, I'm just, you know, I'm happy I got a chance to be in your presence. That's all I ask for. Stop you for a second. Merlin, you still out there? Did I mention to you Big John Canales? They cut his leg off. That was diabetes. Were you aware of that in your travels?
No, I have not.
Yeah, I went to the hospital, and you might get a kick out of this one. Sorry to deviate, but Big John Canales is obviously Hispanic, and I'm a white boy, as white as white, ever going to be with the Irish name. They wouldn't let me into the hospital, but my wife, Kathy, is Italian, so she's got the like the Mediterranean skin a little bit. They wouldn't let us in, and I said to them, I'm John's brother-in-law. This is his sister, Kathy Kennedy, Kathy Gonzalez. Anyway, they said, well, they let me in to see him, and I stayed there to the last second. The leg was so bad. It had gangrene already set in. It was beyond, it was just terrible. I didn't make a face at all. He didn't make a face. We hung together until it was time to go, and if he waited any longer, he'd have lost above the knee. As it is now, he lost below the knee, so... Anyway, Big John's doing okay. I just talked to him a while ago. He's still on association and see what they. But he's got no leg. He's doing okay. Jesse, we put it back to you, darling. Tell us what you're doing now on the 14th.
On the 14th, we have, by the way, just a little side note. You know, my prayers go out to him, but I'm sure he has some connections that could customize a bike for him if need be, right?
Yes.
So on the 14th, we're doing Hot Rods and Harleys. It's a bike and car show. There's five categories with a $100 prize in each in Hot Rods and five $100 prizes in Hot Rods. And then there's a $500 best of or people's choice in each category as well. So $35 to register. You know, phenomenal cause there. We decided all the money from that was going to be going to a San Diego available through the Black Sheep for the Downed Biker Association, for the Downed Bikers, because they support well outside their club as well as within their club, and we all know tragedy. And we just need to support each other. When somebody goes down, you know, we need to make sure we're trying to raise money all year to support families and loved ones of downed bikers. It's just, you know, we have to take care of our own community. So, and it'll have a kid zone. We'll be barbecuing. There will be music. It'll be fun. Bill and Steve will be helping me MC that. We have some really phenomenal judges for both categories, and the best judges will be, you know, the people that are there to pick which one they like best. And
are we
then,
also acknowledging Angela Spencer that day?
Angela Spence Foundation is who we're donating through. Angela Spence Foundation is a foundation that just works to achieve through its connections and its capabilities to support the local community. So every time we do a fundraiser with Angela Spence, we vote on what those funds are going to. And the Angela Spence Foundation and Biggs Harley Davidson would like the funds from Hot Rods and Harleys to go to downed bikers.
So you've done the 7th and the 14th, and just because you got so much free time on your hand, what are you doing on the 21st?
On the 21st, we're working with Homefront San Diego, which is an amazing, amazing organization. I'm not sure if you're familiar with them. They support the loved ones and the families of deployed military that are in combat and in action, so that a spouse at home who has, you know, water pipes leaking all over their house doesn't have to, and who's struggling. I mean, we always say the heroes are not just those, but the families of them, you know, and it's very true. And this is an organization that has no administrative fees, and it's called Homefront San Diego, and they support whether it be, you know, finding a mechanic in their network to help the wife whose brakes went out, or if it means calling and paying for with the monies that they've raised a plumber because the house is flooding, or, you know, if it means a mom's really, really sick and has a newborn baby at home and she's hundreds of miles from her family because she's part of that military lifestyle, you know, they get with that women's network and get her some help. So that's Homefront San Diego, and it's the May Ride, the 9th annual May Ride. It's a huge ride. You can go to mayride.com or bigshd.com and find out more information. Clint August from K-Bear will be there, and it's just, it's an amazing, amazing ride. It's tons of fun. The Hooters girls are at Hot Rods and Harleys and May Ride, and it's just a lot of fun. Good music. Chuck Palumbo will be out there. We'll have a stunt bike show. I just come out and check it out. Whether you ride or not, these events are raising money. You know, I mean, if you don't want to ride on the 7th, if you're a cager and or you have friends that are cagers, still have them come out and support the American Diabetes Association and have a burger and meet some really cool people and figure out that they should be on two wheels, you know. It's cool.
Come down to car, truck, bike, skateboard, anything you want to do. Listen, I want to say one thing, but we have so many speakers. I want to get more people in. Jesse, I know you got family at home, and I know sometimes you cut off early.
Are you able? Are you?
We want you to stay on as long as you can.
Yeah,
but you got
to
go.
Are you able to stick around?
I am. Can you guys mute me though, so I can just listen to you?
Yeah, I will.
Okay, just mute me. I'm gonna do the thing and let everybody listen to the show. Okay.
I was trying to talk very seriously. She was blowing in my ear while I was on live radio trying to talk. You know, first.
I was
so embarrassed.
Jill, you keep putting your hand on my knee.
I was so composed on. I wouldn't feel that bad about it.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so I can get naked while we do this. I don't understand.
All right, guys. Whatever.
Wait a minute.
Mute me.
Go
ahead, John.
John, please speak.
Yes, you're talking to me?
Yeah.
Sure, go ahead, John.
Do you want to jump in?
Hey, a couple of quickies on the political end. Our Helmut bill, H.R. 695, we got voted down on that 6-4, but that'll be coming back again in January. Okay, so the Representative Jim Sensenbrenner from Wisconsin, he and some other representatives put in a new bill, H.R. 239, which is saying that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA, should stop pushing for mandatory helmet laws. The resolution will encourage NHTSA to focus on motorcycle education and crash prevention instead. In other words, stopping the accidents rather than trying to get me to put a hat on my head.
You know, John, I've not said this to you, and I don't know why I never have. I want to thank you for all the work you do.
Yes.
I'm so damn lazy, I just kind of read a lot of your reports. And if I've not said this before, thank you for being my friend. Because I'm sitting back here doing the minimum amount of work, and since I've known you, since the day I met you and your wife, you've been out there trying to speak for all of us. I'm ashamed for the lack of work I've done, and I applaud you for the volume of work you've done, sir.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
I'd like to add in on that too, John. You and Fran do an amazing amount of work in this whole arena, and you've been a safety instructor and a motorcycle instructor for decades. And between the two of you, it's absolutely amazing what you do. And my hat, the soft one, not the hard one, is off to you. A true salute.
Well, it makes a lot of. I thank you. It makes having a lot of brothers and sisters a good thing. I mean, all of those motorcycle riders out there are, you know,
brothers. And the future riders, too. The future riders.
Sorry, what?
I said, and let's not forget all those future riders out there, that their lives are being molded by the work that you and a small core of people are doing. Because the majority of us are still sitting on our dead butts, and we ain't doing enough to help you at all. I apologize again. Do we have a caller coming in here? What's going on? Am I missing something?
No, we got...
I was waiting for American Legion Rider.
Hello, Las Vegas.
Hello?
Hello, is that you, Tiger Lily?
No, hi, this is Mimi from Las Vegas. Am I old or what?
Yeah, you're
hello?
On, but Yes. We can't hear you too well, but you're on.
Hi. I heard Terry on there, and then I heard somebody from Tennessee. I had to call because I'm actually from Memphis, Tennessee, and I had to call in, and I just want to give my two cents and also to let you guys know out here, they really don't recognize motorcycle awareness, but I have brought motorcycle awareness to Vegas because I'm going to host a Bike Babes and Barbecue on May the 20th through the 22nd at the Texas Station. I'm having your girl, Brenda Fox, coming in as a bad motor scooter for the fashion show. We're going to do a barbecue cookout, and we're going to do a Do You See Me Now parade with Holly Davidson with their RIP recognized in Double D that went down. So, again, we're going to make it all awareness, and we're going to make everything show up and show out here in Las Vegas. And I want to say hello to Terry. How you doing? Chicago, Will of,
right,
World of Soul, I love you. And Tennessee, yes, we do it different from out here because we show more love. And we're going to teach them out here how to show some love.
How can we find out? Can you give us a flyer or send something to us, something so we can put it on our system? Is that possible?
I sure will.
Let me get screwed on the phone 1 second. He'll give me an idea. She's going to try to send us a flyer. Can you help us with that?
Yeah, what you could do with that is, since you know Terry can send you my contact information, and as soon as you send it to me, I'll post it for you.
Great. I appreciate that. And you guys are doing a great job. I love the topics. I tell you, I mean, this is what I love, and I love everybody talking about what they need to talk about, which is unity within our community. And if we can get that, we have the vote, and we can make a difference. And we got to let everybody know. We got to show love to everybody.
We need you to let us keep in contact with us.
She can stay on, Bill.
Sure she can. I'm saying in the future. I want some more flyers, more information so we can spread it. Because God knows that crazy Merlin could be there overnight. Who knows it? And you and I get bigger.
Oh, you bet.
Oh, well,
what I'd like to do is ask you to stay on the line. I'm going to bring in a caller from Northern California right now, and he's got an interesting story about biker discrimination over a parking space. So everybody that's on here, we're all aware of the discrimination that we get treated as. I want this gentleman to tell a story, and then we'll go from there, okay?
Anybody can comment after he finishes talking. Northern California, are you out there?
Yeah.
Hey, Thumper.
Thumper, what is going on in your neck of the woods?
Actually, I'm in Orange County, not Northern California. But,
I'm sorry. Well, that's North
America. We're San Diego. Everything's north to us. Okay.
Okay, here's the story. And do you want me to start off by reading the letter?
Whatever you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Read the letter.
Okay, this is from my homeowners association. I'm going to leave their name out of it. But it says, regarding amendment to the rules and regulations, and in parentheses it says motorcycles.
Yeah.
Dear homeowners, in order to better accommodate motorcycle parking within the community, the board proposes the following amendment to the rules and regulations pertaining to motorcycle parking. Owners may rent a reserved motorcycle parking space to park their street legal, currently registered, and covered motorcycle at the cost of $10 per month. Reserved spaces are available on a first-come, first-served basis. Owners may not use any other guest, resident, or reserved parking spaces. Guests may use standard guest parking spaces according to the existing guest parking space rules to park their street-legal, currently registered motorcycle. Motorcycles owned by residents or their guests must have street-legal exhaust systems. Residents will be cited for excessively noisy vehicles. The HOA reserves the right to issue or revoke permission for any vehicle to use reserved spots for any reason and without any cause.
It's all part of the loop. And when the loop shuts down, because there's only one loop in Nashville. There's one loop in Nashville. It's not like LA where it spreads out.
We've kind of got a little static problem here.
Is that all privately owned property?
It's a townhome community, I understand, John.
Yeah, it is. It's a townhouse complex. And
are the streets
Are the streets privately owned?
In other words, is it a gated community?
Yeah, I'm in a gated community.
Okay, yeah, because there's been a couple of court cases over that, and when it's like privately owned roads and not city property, it's a bitch trying to get, you know, they decide. There was one, I don't know, 4 years ago, where they made the guy park his motorcycle outside the gate and walk into his house. And they got away with it because it was privately owned property.
Yeah, that's basically what's been happening. You know, and the problem is I'm the only biker that lives in there. And they've been doing everything they could to do something since the first day I moved in. You know, they fined us and you know, for other things that really have nothing to do with that. Because the first time they saw me was when I had my patch on. When I had my cut on, I rode in. And, you know, the problem is like some of the neighbors don't care. They like me. You know, I get along with everybody. It's just the board members that I live by are older people that have problems with it.
You know, I've always said that the HOAs were being run by Nazis in exile, because every time they take over, you people are being like locked up in a concentration camp. I think everybody else, we can help this brother. We're helping ourselves here, because we can't let this guy be shut down. I'm hoping somebody gets him with them. Merlin, what, you any more thoughts on this guy out here? Merlin is quiet? Oh, my God.
No.
Merlin, are you not feeling okay? Merlin, are you not feeling okay? You're not even there.
Okay. I got Charlie.
There. Yo.
Hey.
Hey, man.
What's up? Not much. I'll give you give us a couple minutes, and I'll bring you and Merlin back on to talk about what's happening this weekend.
All right.
Did you guys hear all the love from Las Vegas?
Yeah, I was just trying to wake Merlin up. He was over here taking a nap.
He snores like, oh, God.
Yeah.
Did you hear that girl from Las Vegas giving you all that love out there, brother?
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is. Yeah, I heard all that, man. She's from Memphis, actually, and is in Las Vegas right now, so I'm digging it, man. It's all good.
Yeah, I saw some of that Southern hospitality out here.
I hear you.
They need a little bit of it.
Bring them some beans and greens and some hoe cakes, and we're good to go.
Okay, and don't forget about that German chocolate cake.
No, we won't forget about that either. We've got to do that. I lived in Memphis for a few years before moving to Nashville, so I know the scene. I love it over there.
Yes, and it's totally different. Like you say, I tell you, the love is more of a unity. Out here, you have to bring it to them and let them know that we all are one. You know, you're separated, like you said, with different clubs, and, you know, because you ride this or you in this club or you're part of that, you know, you're not oh, yes, we are. We are one. When they talk about some bikers, they talk about the one who riding the crotch walker on to the holidays. They're not going to discriminate.
Right.
But we're going to all got to get together, be together, and do it together and let them know that we run this. And furthermore, if you want to be in office when it comes down to the political, then you need to come out here, support us, what we're doing, what we're about, and then we got you guys.
I got you. That's where I got to come in.
I hear you.
Mimi is one of our co-directors. She's handling the portion of our Ride for Change, Ride for Hope here in Las Vegas, guys. So we're proud to have her on this evening. I can be real quiet and let her get a spokesperson. So after the May 20th through the 22nd event, we're looking forward to Ride for Change, Ride for Hope in Las Vegas on these elections of meeting and a few others on August 4th, I do believe it is.
Yeah, August, the first weekend of August, they're going to see something I've never seen before. You know, I went up to Laughlin last weekend, and I enjoyed it, and they always talking about Laughlin this, whatever. I ain't been out here for 3 years, so I checked Laughlin out. But I was like, okay, first week in August, the National Bike Roundup is coming. That's another Sturgeon, if you understand what I'm saying. 30,000 plus will be here in Vegas. So my awareness project that I'm going to host on the 20th through the 22nd is really actually prepping Las Vegas for what's coming.
and they need to realize they need to stop it, stop running over us. I got Metro involved because now Metro realized they're running over them too. So they want to come out, and they're going to participate, do a little demo, but they got to let the motorists know we're out here. That's why we're going to do You See Me Now. We want to come out 200 more strong to say, look, it's going to be 30,000 plus here. Please don't run over these guys. They out here, and they're going to bring revenues to the city, and please look out. Share the role with my Tennessee guys. Share the role.
Like this girl's attitude. I like it.
Oh,
we were talking a few seconds ago about that guy in Orange County who's having a problem with the homeowners association crap. You got any problems like that in Vegas, or how are you guys dealing with the homeowners association not allowing motorcycles in?
Well, actually, I agree with what's going on at this time and what they're trying to do, especially with the pro-choice. I got Bones from A-Bay, the Southern Nevada president of A-Bay, going to come out, going to speak, going to let these guys know. Because, again, if they don't know, they don't know what to do. So what we're doing is trying to get all the organization together, come out, speak on behalf of what you got to offer. Let our folks know in this community, because if you need us, we need to know what's going on. So I support a lot of the things that's going on and the changes they're trying to make and making it pro-choice and any other things that's going to be a positive to our community. I'm for it.
I like this lady. In fact, I'm going to try to look at my schedule. It might be nice if I roll over for that. John, you still with us? Del Santo?
Yes.
Listen, get back to Orange County for a second. And how can this guy fight this? How can this guy...
Well, we already have somebody on the case, Bill.
Oh.
We already have somebody on the
case. In Orange County?
Right. But, but anything you can share with us, John, would be great.
Yeah.
The first thing I would do if that was me is I would run for the damn board of the Homeowners Association next year.
There you go.
That's
from within. I like
it
there.
The other thing on some of the research I've done already, and I confirmed this, is some of the stuff that they're trying to do, one, they can't rent out a parking space. If they try to do that, they have to get 75% of the owners to agree to do that. And what I found out is most of the owners are ghost owners. They have people renting from them. So they're not even there. And they got one or two people that are on the board that get all the proxies from the rest to vote the way they want. So that's where we're going to go with all the research there, Thumper.
Yeah, what do I do if it does get to that point where they pass it though?
No, you're gonna walk in there with some paperwork. Your meeting's not till June 4th, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a ghost attorney that helps us out when we need it, and we're gonna draft up a couple of letters and give you some info on what to do and how to do it, and then you should be okay. And what I'll do is. What I want you to do is stay in contact with me, and I sent the email. I didn't get a response yet, but that's probably because you're at school. So when you get that email, let me know and send me direct contact information. And if you're not available for your wife, so I can tell a person instead of leaving a message.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll get that email, and I'll shoot that stuff over to you. You know, this is something that's... It's an important thing for me.
You're talking to the right guys who are important things, because Bill and I, just to bring everybody up to speed, Bill and I have been tagged for the last 2 years. Bill's the president of one of the Bill's the president of one of the Heavy Hitter Club. Bill's the president of the Heavy Hitter Club. I'm the vice president, and all the guys around town are our underlings. That's the poor intelligence these yahoos have on
only
us.
Only because we're trying to help other bikers out there. And the fact that we're trying to help people, they got us tagged for so many different titles and subtitles, and it's so much bullshit. We've announced it now anyway. Anyway,
well,
I'm hoping to keep a screwdriver because he's like a pit bull once he sticks his teeth into it. I don't have quite that enthusiasm, but if screwdriver says he's going to jump, hope it works out for you completely.
I should have some answers for you by tomorrow evening.
Okay, cool. All right, I appreciate it, guys.
Okay, and let me ask you this. Are you a veteran?
No. No, I'm not.
Okay.
But you are a United States citizen, right?
There I am.
This is America, right?
You know where I was going with that.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I am.
If, If you got time to stay on and listen to the rest of this, that's fine. If not, I want you to call back Tuesday and we'll talk about what I give you. You can think about it over the weekend and we'll kibitz on how you want to approach it.
All right, I will do that.
Good.
I appreciate everything you guys are doing for me. I really do. It's a lot.
We're helping you. We help ourselves.
That's it. Because what happens on the East Coast is going to happen on the West Coast or anywhere in the world.
Mm-hmm.
The discrimination that's going on started in Australia, correct, Bill?
In Canada.
Now it's in Canada, mm-hmm. and they try to get a foothold in New York to spread this way, but everybody's acting on it here because we have a Bill of Rights, and that's what's stopping them from doing all the bullshit they want to do. So they're trying to change everything.
People that know me know I do have an ego problem. I'm not going to try to hide that.
No,
I've
not
said
you,
over and over that when we're working with our friends, we're working with problems, the message is more important than the messenger. So anything you say to Screwdriver, he'll help you real well, real well.
Well,
I got a request.
One.
Yes, you're unmuted, my dear. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. You know, there are a couple of things that you can do. If you guys want to, after the show, if you want to give that gentleman from Orange County my email, I have some information. We had a similar situation with one of our guys in the shop, and I did some research. So
every time I talk to you, your rating goes higher and higher and higher.
Usually you're the guy that likes to be stroked.
I know it. I'm saying this girl is a plethora of information.
If
also good looking too, but she really.
If you would shoot me that, can you scan it and send it to me?
I can. I can't do it till tomorrow afternoon, but I can.
That's fine. Once he sends me his email and stuff, I'll forward it to you. But in the meantime, if you could scan that and send it to me, I can pass it on and then. We'll open those doors once everybody comes together.
Yeah, you could even, you could put it up if you wanted to. It's pretty generic information, but it's vital. And then there was a gentleman earlier, and I don't know what his name was, but he's the gentleman that got the signs on the highways.
That's John Del Santo.
Is he still online?
Yes, he's still
there.
Question for you.
Hey, John, did you say something about Mike Osborne?
Yeah, Mike was a big pusher on this.
Is he still around?
Yep.
Okay.
Why, does he owe you money or what?
No, he actually was around when I very first got involved in this community, and he helped me open an abate chapter in San Francisco years and years ago.
Yeah, no, he's still, he is not as visible as he was, but he's still around.
Cool. Well, maybe Screwdriver can help us get in touch too. I would love it if you could just, get my information to him. It'd be really cool.
Oh man, just leaving me hanging and not calling me back, and you want favors now? Jeez. Exactly. No, what I'll do is I'll shoot you an email with John's phone number.
Cool. With you, John.
Okay. Hey, also, I want to drop one more thing on coming events in here.
Sure.
On the May 12th through the 15th, up in Dana Point, which is like in Northern California. It's above Camp Pendleton. The American Veterans Traveling Vietnam Wall will be in Sea Terrace Park in Dana Point. And if you haven't seen that, that's just a wonderful thing to see.
I'm sorry. Can you give those dates again, John?
It's on my blog.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's the American Veterans Traveling Tribute, the Traveling Vietnam Wall.
Wow.
It's going to be at Sea Terrace Park in Dana Point, California, the 12th through the 15th.
It's on yesterday's post. I said I'd put it up, John, as soon as you sent it to me.
John, do you remember, Randy Twells out of San Diego, don't you, the magazine lady?
I'm sorry, the what now?
She's with Quick Throttle Publications.
Who is that?
Magazine photographer lady.
I'm hearing two voices.
Randy Twells out of Quick Throttle Publications.
Yeah, sure,
you know her, John?
I know Randy for years.
I want to tell you, the last time we brought the wall down here to Oceanside,
she was talking to me, and she said when she was in high school, her next-door neighbor went in the military, boot camp, blah, 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 right to Vietnam. They had a party at her house, a pool party. She was just a teenager. He left the next day. She never heard from him again. And I said, we have a directory right here. Why don't you go find him? John, it was exceptionally emotional. She had never had contact with him since the day he left her house, the pool party, went in the military. She found his name on the wall. She did a pencil tracing. So this isn't just something about the past. These are
wow.
still people you can find. And I ask everybody to please bring your grandchildren and your children to the wall. Those of us that are in the military, we know about the wall. We don't need to know about the wall.
Right.
You, as parents, have a responsibility to bring your children to the wall so they can realize they may one day have to defend this country. Freedom is not free. Bring your children. I don't know why people don't want to bring their children. Bring your babies. Bring everybody to realize American men and women gave their life there. Show up if you can.
I'm in.
Charlie.
Yo.
Hey, man. I'm sorry about that. We got on a little roll there. I want to give you as much time as you need right now.
No, we're good, man. Appreciate it.
Mute me.
Mute her, please. You mooted. Charlie, rock and roll. Tell us what's happening.
Hey, man, just hanging out here with Merlin Bianco in Nashville, Tennessee. Getting ready for
and what's happening in Nashville? Happening in Nashville, Tennessee, man.
Getting ready for the Second Harvest Feeding America benefit Saturday.
And I'll know
May
by 9:30 tomorrow morning what we talked about.
All right. Cool. Very cool.
Cool. I want to know what the why do I wait till 9:30 for us to find out? We have 10 people listening, and we all got to wait till tomorrow.
No,
or tonight. No,
it's the next apprentice, man. It's the apprentice show, man. He's got to cut somebody off. He's got to have a deadline like 9:30.
I know it's the way it is.
It's the Donald Trump move.
There you go.
He went out there last year to hang with you. Didn't even tell me about it until after he left. I didn't know anything about it. He's probably on stage and no one told Bill. That's all right.
No, that's not true. You were invited.
Oh, I know. I'm just kidding.
We heard you're flying in now, Bill. That's what we heard. That's the rumor
going
around.
Oh, lordy. How big's the stage? I really like big stages. I come up for the event of a big stage.
So this is going to be the second annual Feeding America benefit?
Right. Yeah, second annual biker benefit for Feeding America, Nashville's only true biker benefit.
How do people find out about I have no money, I need food. How does the food get to the table, brother? Tell me that if you could.
Well, I mean, the part of the Feeding America is a national organization and it's kind of subbed up by the Second Harvest Foundation, which is all over the United States of America also. There's a Second Harvest all over California. They're in your communities. If you Google Second Harvest and Feeding America, you'd be surprised to find out they're right there in your own community. And what happens is folks, volunteer and donate, and they do a lot of school lunch programs. Like the thing that happens here, Second Harvest of Middle Tennessee feeds, 300,000 or 400,000 children meals a year just alone from one of their perspectives. And they also help out during disasters and other things that take place for Americans and people right here at home that need assistance. So what we do is, it's a great cause. And, from the biker benefit side of it, we're out here bringing awareness to it and trying to get people to understand that this is right here in your own backyard. It's a national organization. And it's right in your own backyard, man. You don't have to, really do too much of anything other than, donate some non-perishable food items. You can show up at a biker benefit like we're having and take the ride and pay the $20. And, the funds go toward, feeding kids and feeding families and helping out and further the cause. It's a non-profit organization that's everywhere.
Charlie, let's go back just a little bit, if you don't mind. This is your second year doing it. Now, I'm going to describe you to the public. You're a motorcycle rider, you're a family man, you're a professional musician,
What year one? What made you be excited about this? How did you get wrapped up into it? You have a lot on your plate as a person. What made you give all this extra time? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think really the main thing that got me started with this one was because it's the whole American thing, you know. I could rant on a couple things about America, and I just realized that, you know, here's something that's in everyone's backyard. You know, what's very cool and what got me driven is that it's right here in my backyard. It's right there in your backyard in Oceanside. It's right there in that guy's backyard in New Jersey and down in the tip of Florida. So the thing is, it's from a biker perspective, and bikers are all over the United States of America, and in communication with each other, it's everywhere. And so what drove me to want to do this was the fact that there's a national awareness that needs to be brought to light about it, in my opinion, because you know, from a certain political standpoint of my mentality, we give way too much away. So let's keep something around here for a change.
Yeah, but I'm going to really put you on the spot here. You know, I'm a kind of pain in the ass at times, but tell me one thing. I know you spoke some nice generalities about blah, blah, blah. What said, Tyler, you got to help people. Is it you're worried about the children not getting the food, or is something that let me hear?
Well, really what it all boils down to for me, again, like I say, you know, we give subsidies to foreign countries. We do things for other folks around this planet. And I'm living and working and breathing right next to folks that legitimately need help and that are right here in the United States of America. And, you know, charity begins at home. And if we're going to help folks, let's help ourselves. And the more we help ourselves, the more we can branch out and help other people. And that's what boils down to for me. You know, I want to see something happening for us, you know. You know, America is the first responder in any accident, any catastrophe that happens around this globe. You know, who's the first responder to America? The critics. So let's stop criticizing and let's start helping ourselves, and then we'll become stronger to help other people in the future. And, you know, that's just my political view of it and my motivation and living it, you know, and living around folks that, you know, legitimately are in situations that this stuff happens and, you know, there's nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed about, and people need to go get some assistance, and that's great, you know, and move on and pass that on, you know, pay it forward.
Like what you're saying, and I just want to say just quickly, the city of Vallejo, California, Merlin, you'll appreciate this. It has got three substations, police substations, one regular station. All police substations have been shut down. The one main station is only open 4 days a week. All fire departments all shut down. This is right here in California. And you're right, it's every single state. It's not a matter of rich people, poor people. The cities are going belly up. If we don't reach in and help this man with his program, it could be us next. Scoot, I was whispering in my ear that he does help right here in Oceanside. Brother Banos gets some benefit from that program in there. I didn't know that. That's great. Everybody that's listening, if they can't help, how can they send some money? What can they do? Can they fax something? What can they do? Other people listen in other states, brother.
Well, what's great about it is it's not about helping our particular weekend from Oceanside to Nashville. What I want you to do is go on and Google Your Feeding America and your Second Harvest organization in your area. They are there. They're all over California. They're all over every state in the continental United States. And you can go and Google and look for your own area. And so we can't just send it all to Nashville. You got to help where you're at. And we're going to help where we're at in Nashville. The whole point of this with the biker community is bringing awareness to the whole situation. Because bikers come in just like Merlin's here right now from San Diego. He's on, you know, he's on his ride for life right here and doing what he's doing. You know, he's going to spread that word. He's passing through here. You know, Phillip's already done that. You know, Brother Hermes out of Mass has already done that. You know, and some other biker friends of ours, you know, Biker Chad from Saddle Tramp Magazine up in Wisconsin have been through here. And so that's what we want. We want people to take this home that come through, but we also want to spread this word and get folks that are in their areas to say, hey, where am I with this, with my own community, and go out and help that. And together, it feeds America, because what you do in your community and what we do here in Nashville as a whole, it scores all the way across the board.
Anybody have any questions for Charlie?
I'm sitting in the room with him, and I'm flabbergasted. This is, Lund, he's absolutely right. We need to help each other, and for it to stay local, like he's suggesting. But the other is, I want to leap up and hug the guy because he's really in the right groove here.
Well, yeah, I've been with Charlie. Sometimes he does need a hug, so, yeah, go ahead, reach over and give him a hug.
Brother Merlin, I know you enjoy a good meal. You understand, Charlie doesn't have all that food. You understand that, don't you? I was kind of worried that maybe you were going to his house because you thought he had control of all of the food.
Well, you know.
I just want to just point out.
Well, you know, Charlie's better half does make.
I don't know her, but yeah.
Just make does make a
yeah,
good burger.
The operative phrase there is better.
But she makes a better pizza. She makes a good burger, but she makes a better pizza.
Oh, okay. I'll wait for it then. One of the things that is interesting about this, the Biker Beach Bar ride on Saturday, a lot of places on the West Coast, if they do
Merlin.
A 60, 80, or 100 mile.
Merlin, hold on a second.
Merlin, are you talking on a speakerphone?
No.
Okay. We're getting a lot of reverb. Turn on the sound in the back, Charlie.
I got it. How's this? Is this better?
Try it now.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah, I just had to unmute Charlie. I muted Charlie, so we won't get any reverb.
Yeah. One of the things that just amazes me about this event they've got going, the Biker Beach Ride on Saturday and the Second Harvest as the organization, the prime organization, they don't do a 60-mile run. They do a 200-mile ride.
Yeah,
you know, there's no fooling around here. These people are serious about it. And I'm privileged to have come through this. Charlie invited me a month ago to come through if I can and be a part of it. And I'm privileged. And the more I deal with Charlie, and it comes to just to that. This is an amazing setup. And it is. I really, Phil. If you do get out here, and I hope you do, this is a kick. And but from an event or a bike ride perspective, boy, there's no fooling around here. There's five acts going to be down at the beach party or the Bikini Beach Biker Bar. I think full name. I can't quite get it straight.
They have some better strippers than they did last time.
Oh, I'll tell you what, Phil, I'll take care of that myself. I'll personally select the strippers. they five acts and a 200-mile ride that you can start in the middle of it and come down and do this and then finish it on your way home. I mean, you know, there's no fooling around here. These people are up for it. And
right.
Merlin, I'm
right
a bit
now?
Concerned, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, but your choice of strippers, don't forget, you and I spent many, many nights in Tijuana. I'm not sure if maybe somebody else might pick the strippers out.
Now I'm hurt.
If you guys would, we're gonna take a quick break. This song is by War, and since today's Cinco de Mayo for all our people of Mexican nationality, I figure this song brings everybody together, Bill. Well, I'm just going to leave you guys unmuted, but I'm going to play this song, and we'll be right back.
Probably doesn't make the French people happy, though.
No,
they
I don't.
They lost
I
the
really,
war.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
let me throw this out to everybody. Does anybody beside me, when they hear that song, think of Cheech and Chong with a big doobie going down the road?
All day long.
Dave ain't here.
Thank you. I've got the...
But, no, it's just like Charlie's saying, Bill. We need to, you know, playing that song, too. Everybody comes, you know, it doesn't matter what color you are, what race you are, what nationality. Everybody, when you hear that song, everybody starts tapping a toe or snapping a finger.
Well, music, as Charlie knows, that's a universal magnet for us all. We're all attracted to it. Music does things that somehow takes us, maybe brings out the goodness in us. I don't know if I'm being too philosophical, but I think music takes us beyond our natural limitations. And it's that's what we need to do, the Bikers of America. Part of America, we need a good... Charlie, write us a good song to bring us all together, okay?
All right, yeah, we'll do that. We'll work that out while Merlin's here.
Charlie doesn't need any sleep today. He'll knock it off before morning, I'm sure.
No, yeah, that's right, man. It's been one of those sleepless, you know, 48-hour periods. We've had a run of stuff getting ready for this weekend, really, is what it's all been about. Tomorrow it's going to start winding up, man, and poor Merlin, he's going to be hating me here come about 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
Bill, Jerry, you want to give us an update on what's happening in Louisville?
May the 7th, guys, this Saturday, from Bluegrass Harley-Davidson, Life for Change, Life for Hope, will be making its inaugural appearance in Louisville, Kentucky, en route to the Muhammad Ali Center, a motorcycle motorcade escort by the Louisville Police Department, I do believe, culminating there for a presentation, then a tour of the facility. We're going to take this opportunity to make a special announcement about a new component to the National Right for Change, Right for Hope campaign, and I look forward to updating you Tuesday. Don't want to spill the beans tonight, but it's going to be a great addition. And a great opportunity for us all at RISE as it relates to the Right for Change, Right for Hope project. And as you know, we're supporting initiatives that address the needs of at-risk youth. And we have a problem here in our country as it relates to the educational crisis, with 30% to 40% of African American males not graduating high school. We feel that's something that we need to get engaged in. That all of us need to get engaged in.
Go ahead.
You know, yeah, let me say something. Maybe we're talking about unifying all that. Since Sturgis is really the middle, maybe if we try all next year to keep making new friends and keep talking to people, and maybe if Hermes and maybe if all the bike, all the talk shows, maybe if we all got together one time in Sturgis, it'd be a small beginning, but man, that might be a beginning, you know? Just a thought, guys, just a thought. You guys think you can get away from Sturgis, not this year, but next year? Anybody think you can get away?
Yeah, we're going to try to make that happen. I think that's a good thing. You know, we got to get in the same room.
I think that'd be great. All the people and all the political and all our MROs and all the people, just not coming as celebrities, just coming in to say, hey, man, how you doing? Because I want to meet more of you people face-to-face.
That's Mimi.
Mimi, are you still out there?
I am here.
Little girl, if I slide over there, if I can fit that in my crazy schedule, is there one hotel everybody's staying at?
Actually, at the Texas Station Hotel, and we'll be there.
I know where that is, yes. End of the street. You're down by the Fremont Experience, right?
Well, no, it's not going to be on the strip. It's on Rancho.
Okay. I got you. So, yeah.
And... be there again from the 20th to the 22nd. We're going to do the awareness all day Friday. That evening, She's a Bad Motor Scooter. Brenda Fox is going to host that fashion show. That Saturday, we're going to present the proclamation that we got from the mayor to proclaim the Motorcycle Awareness Month here in Las Vegas. And then we're going to do that charity ride for the Shade Tree Battle Women's and Children. We're going to do the bike car show, barbecue cookout, a candlelight vigil for all our fallen bikers, and then we're just going to act a fool with that barbecue.
Guys, let me throw this out to you. I mentioned Sturgis, but did anybody think that Vegas might be a better venue or Atlantic City? Anybody think about something, or do you think Center America? I mean, I know I'm just talking about a shot in the dark, but any thoughts on that for a get-together in 2 years, if we invite everybody?
Hey, I think that would be a great, that would be a great start. I mean, I can't wait. I love this world, so the more we do, the more they can see us out here and do what we do.
We haven't had
Chicago. What do you think about coming all the way to Vegas or Sturgis? Would you go that far?
Well, I'd go that far, but you know, I'm thinking about Chicago. We haven't had a big gathering here in Chicago for as long as I can remember.
That's right. I said Atlanta. I didn't say Chicago. Yeah, Vegas. Yeah, we have to kick this around time to time, and again, we're just setting the basic thoughts out. But could we all come? You know, it must be. If we can just get together, shake hands, start seeing each other in the face, and talking about things.
That's right. That's right.
The deal is, if you're a biker,
you'll go anywhere.
Mm.
That is so true. If you're a biker, you'll travel anywhere to do what you do. And that's
The
way I feel about it. So if Chicago come to Vegas, Vegas going to Chicago, going to Sturgis, going to Tennessee, wherever it takes us, that's what we need to do.
I like that. We all stay at Charlie's house.
So just
thousands of us.
Just I want to drop a look who's gonna be there, Bill.
I can't see. Now I got my glasses on. Hang on a second. I'm working. Brenda Fox.
Do you know Mimi? Do you know Brenda?
Brenda Fox.
Yeah.
That's I love her. That's a bad model scooter.
Oh, we've known that little girl for 15, 20 years probably. Yeah, we've done a lot of joint charities together. Speaking about being a good motorcycle enthusiast and spokesperson.
Ever.
Yeah. Class lady, and yet she rides a motorcycle hard.
Some fake way.
I'm sorry?
Maybe we didn't hear you. Repeat that, please. She got too excited.
We lost him.
Oh, well.
Fell off the edge.
Yeah, they got too excited. Mimi's thinking Merlin's coming to Las Vegas, and she just got too excited over that idea.
I got a bunch of places to go before I get back to the West. I did discover that the Outer Banks has a bike week. North Carolina Outer Banks.
Well,
yeah, I've never heard of
your list. Gulfport, Mississippi, if you ever get down that way. Boy, it's one of my favorite rides in America.
I did. Gulfport actually is real quite pretty this year. Everything's clean. The coastal down there was surprisingly clean, and there's a lot of good construction and activities going on. I saw what appeared to be a real nice recovery, you know, well along, and people were doing good. It was kind of spring break, and nobody showed up. You know, a lot of beach umbrellas sitting there waiting for people to sit under them. But Gulfport was pretty like it used to be, and hurricane damage. There's some clean vacant lots now that didn't used to be, but there's been a lot of work and a lot of energy in cleaning everything up down there after the hurricanes and the oil spill. I was very, very pleased to see what people have done.
Merlin, my brother Mike jumped on an airplane last week. He went down to the Carolinas. We got friends back there, and he just thought he might run back out there, talk to them, check things out, and see if he could help, see if he could check the area out. Told me I'm going to leave the next day. I want to check our friends out. He's as bad as you are, buddy. Jumping on a plane, you're jumping on a motorcycle, just leaving. I explained to him where to shop. Put it on the calendar. I think I got to go back and help my friends. So, I don't know. That's pretty class of him.
Yeah, it is. And it's like right now, Nashville and a large portion of the river basin, the flood possibilities are very real around here. And they're talking about... there's a lot going on. And yet people are alive and well and keep working and keep trying to do something for somebody else. It's an amazing place back here.
You don't suck right now. Merlin's sucking.
It is. I mean, when I was back there, you can ask Charlie. I was like a little kid when I was riding.
And I had forgotten how pretty it was. Last time I was back here was 40 years ago on another long-term ride, and boy, it's gorgeous back here. And you forget how nice it really and pretty and green, and you know, even the rain's fun back here. So. But they have more of it. But anyway,
okay.
I want to back up Charlie's comments earlier. Look up Feeding America and Second Harvest. Look it up locally. You know, Google it, 411, whatever, and check it out. See what something you can do that's going to stay and help right in your own neighborhood. Bill, one of your favorite things is you're always willing to give somebody a helping hand, a hand up, not a hand out. And,
correct.
And these two organizations, they really are doing this. You know, what little I know about them, and I'm learning all the time, these are the outfits that we really need to kind of help along, because these are it's in our, like Charlie says, it's in his backyard, it's in your backyard. I'm playing in everybody's backyard. But I'm just a flea. These people are working. And that's...
Merlin,
that's
let me interrupt for a second. I just got off the phone with a friend of ours. My wife, Kathy, just called up. She goes, Merlin's on the air. Merlin, yes, honey, I know he's on the air. I don't want to get on, but she wants to say to she hopes you're doing fine. Hope everything's doing good. And hope you head back to California someday in the future. But she says she's glad you're doing good.
The only reason I dealt with you over all these years was how much I needed Kathy in my life. You know, you guys, her family, you know, your brothers, you know, hell, you raised my little brother, you know, so. But, yeah, I think about her often, and I was so pleased to see her earlier in the year, you know, getting better and stronger and happier looking all the time. That just made me feel real good. And so, yeah, by all means, give her my love.
I'll do that. She's out of the wheelchair, and that year we spent in there, we're working on her muscles and all that. A few months ago, I went down to Mexico, and I'm thinking a month or two, I might take her down to Mexico again for a weekend. I have about a 100-mile range we've worked her strength up to. Every 30
right.
miles, I can stop the bike and get off and massage the cramps out of her legs. But she's got up to 100 miles, so small steps, we'll make it back maybe, if God willing, all that.
Yeah, God willing, and the creek don't rise. Good, good. Hey, I'm gonna
cut out
here.
You know my lifestyle. And you know what? You know everything about me. Everybody.
Yeah, you stupid.
I'd be in a wheelchair.
Animal, you.
And yet, you know, I'm healthy as a horse, and my poor wife, you know, fighting all diseases. At my wedding, not one person gave my marriage a chance. Everybody said, "You're married to a wonderful girl. You're a dog." My mother, my grandmother who's passed away, my sister who's passed away. They all begged me, Merlin, please don't marry that girl.
Don't,
I said, no,
don't
I think,
ruin that poor little girl.
They told me, everybody in the family, they said, if you marry this girl and you screw it up, and you probably will, we want you to know she stays in the family. You're out. I said, I'm blood. They go, no. Don't marry that girl. It's the only nice girl you have ever been with.
Yeah, that's what her father told me. He said to you, too, was that, you know, don't marry that girl. You'll just ruin her. But,
you have no idea what her mother said about. Oh, geez. I know.
Oh,
what
yeah,
I'm doing.
I do. I do. I just can't repeat it because it was. Well, half of it was in it. You know, half of it was angry Italian. No, her mom and dad were sweethearts. I love them too. You know.
I don't think they ever liked. Okay.
Yeah, a lot of people never liked me. But anyway.
My mother-in-law's biggest thing was, for God's sakes, will he someday just get a haircut? Well, you know, Merlin, you see the picture of me. I got that receding hairline going. A couple more years, my mother-in-law, who's passed away, she might get her wish. I have it all gone.
It's not that your hairline's receding, it's your forehead is growing.
No. I'm so vain, you know, I won't wear a hat or a headband or anything. Now, you know, it's the way God made me. I look in the mirror, this is who I am. I'm not embarrassed by it at all. In fact, humbly, I'm damn good looking. But that, I don't want to exaggerate, you know.
I was going to say that those of us who have stood next to you, we've been embarrassed.
You know, one thing I love the past couple of years, you know, my hair's still down my back there. I love the middle of my speech on a windy day, and, you know, it's always all bald up front. My hair is blowing everywhere. I love to ask the audience, is my hair okay? I don't have an ounce of humility in me. This is the way God made me. This is it. My friends accept me. Those of you who don't accept me, hey, you'll get used to me eventually, I promise you.
Well, I'm gonna say goodnight. Charlie says that I'm not gonna like him by the end of tomorrow, but I seriously doubt that. But I am gonna let him work me hard. And
you're a workhorse. Every charity event we've been on, Charlie, you're getting a good deal with this guy. He works hard. Just keep him away from the, you know, and the women and the. Oh, my God. Just give me all those things. He's a real good worker, I promise you.
Apparently, I'm going to have to go wake up Charlie. I think he fell asleep. He's taking a nap now. But, no, it's just, I like it. And I always have. I always like these things. And I just get into it, and I kind of get into that on a mission mode. And right now, you know, Charlie's about to get the benefit of several months of wandering around on my own, and just to get in onto a mission is going to be a real kick, and I think I'm going to, you know.
I've always given you, like, the not the nickname, but the impression of a Don Quixote. You're out there fighting the dragons, brother.
You're looking for
another dragon to fight.
I wonder if he's ever heard Charlie's
song. You ever heard Charlie's song, Rides, Merlin? We're going to close out with one of our songs. You heard Charlie do Ride before?
First time Charlie and I were on the show together a couple of months ago, you know, about 3 months ago, I guess, you played Ride. And, yeah, please do.
Well, we're getting kind of close right there. Let's definitely close out with that in a little bit here, you know.
And Terry, we thank you for calling in. Merlin, I thank you for calling in. Express my thank yous to Charlie.
Yeah, Charlie, you're the man.
And
everyone lose contact with Mimi. I like her, too.
Yeah.
And Mimi, yep.
We got Jesse. So much, Jesse. Thank you. We love Chicago.
Thank everybody.
I'm looking forward to meeting Chicago somewhere. I think he got a good attitude.
Hey, Terry and I have been exchanging a little. I'm looking forward to meeting him, too.
Yeah. We did get some callers that couldn't get in. We apologize there again. We can only get so many on. It seems like a two-hour show. We'd have plenty of room, but sometimes it rolls pretty quickly. So to all of our friends, I want to say thank you very much. Tell me what's going on in the different states, and maybe someday, like Mimi said, Vegas or Chicago, I don't know, maybe someday we can all get together. Wouldn't that be a thought? Back to you, brother. Back to you. I think we stay at Chicago's house. Yeah.
And what this is Charlie's song called Ride. We're going to close it out with this. I thank you guys again, and we'll talk to you next week.
To all our friends, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Right.
My stomach's grumbling. There you go. By someone